other name so precious. Praise our name. Praise the name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name. Jesus, name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name. No other name.
To the highest name. We are proclaiming that highest name. We are calling out to the highest name in this place this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you call upon that name, He can't help. He has to respond to that. He responds to your worship. He responds to that heart's cry this morning in Jesus' name. It is so good to be in His house. It is so good to be in His presence where anything is possible and anything can happen at any time today in Jesus' name. Psalms 89. A few verses in Psalms 89, 5 through 7, it says, all heaven will praise your great wonders, Lord. Myriads of angels will praise you for your faithfulness. For who in all of heaven can compare with the Lord?
Yes.
What mightiest angel is anything like the Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than all who surround his throne. I don't know about you, but I want to go deeper today. I want to go deeper in his presence. I want to go deeper in his will and his way, what he has for us today in Jesus' name. To be reverenced. God is a God that has to be reverenced. In Leviticus 10:3, it says, "By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified." In Jesus' name, the holy, righteous, the omnipotent one is here in this place. Yes, yes. In Jesus' name, we're here to give him honor and reverence, the reverence that he is due in Jesus' name. May our response be pleasing to him as he fills, continues to fill and saturate this place with his presence this morning in Jesus' name.
Holy, holy, holy is our praise to the King of Kings.
You are my everything.
You are my everything.
And I
will adore you.
I love these words. It's my favorite verse.
When I Higher and higher, no other
we all stand and thank Him for His sweet presence in the house this morning? In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Thank you for your name that we can call upon at any time, day or night. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that fills this place, Lord. It is so sweet to us this morning. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time. Brother Alex, would you pray for the offering? Amen.
Greatest day in history. Let this be then, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day.
Bible calls it joy unspeakable, full of glory. We used to sing an old song, happy now, since I found the favor of my loving Savior. Gone at last, all my past, can't say where or how, but I'm happy now. Thank you, Jesus. You enjoy living for the Lord. Why don't you lift your hands with a smile upon your face? Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to serve you, to know you. Hallelujah. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. Lord, we've come this morning, God. We've come, God, with recognition that you're here, God, that you're power is here to help and to save, to deliver, to strengthen, God. And we've come, God. And we want to leave happy with a smile upon our face, knowing that we've been in your presence, God, communed with your Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Do want to make you aware of a few things. We have an announcement this coming Tuesday night. If you're interested in knowing what's happening, what's gone on last year in the sense of the business of the church, some plans for this year. We did have a great department heads meeting last night. Thank you, Brother and Sister Grimm, for doing such a fine job hosting. We had a lot of stuff that we have put on the calendars for the upcoming months, and a lot of it has to do with stuff that happens around here. And so we're going to let you in on some of that this coming Tuesday night during our business meeting. Also go over the finances of the church where we ended in the last fiscal year. And so just if you want to be, probably won't be more than about 45 minutes. I wouldn't imagine any more than that. We do have at least one election to make. And then if you're interested in knowing what it takes to be a member of the church, that will also be discussed as we'll go over the bylaws and what membership is. And we'll take the time to do that. So I promise you, but 99.9% sure it will not go over an hour. So from about 7 to 8, and that's on Tuesday night. Then Wednesday night, looking forward to continuing in our study called Plainly Speaking. And I have every intention, unless the Lord directs different, to address a question that was submitted concerning women and covering their head and praying. And it has a lot to do with 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we'll talk about that in detail. And if you're interested in that, want to know why we as apostolics do what we do, well, you should be here on Wednesday night. And you'll have a little better understanding, hopefully, of what that is all about. Men, Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m. at my residence, we invite you to come for a time of fellowship. Hopefully the weather looks like the weather's going to be great, so have a good time outside. Maybe a little chilled, so you might want to bring a sleeve. But going to have a good time outside playing some bags and just having a good time together. And so that's this coming Thursday night from 7 to 9. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind to stand. If you would turn in them with me to Gospel of John, chapter number 6. I'm always excited about preaching the Word of the Lord. I'm always, intrigued at God and how He works and how He moves. And there are moments. There are times when I sit in front of the computer and Bible, and man, it's just not flowing, it's not happening. And I'm chasing rabbits, I'm trying to find exactly what the Lord would have me to say, direction He would have me to go. And then there's other times that it just seems like you got a high-speed connection where you just downloading, and you're excited to find the next little nugget. And I hope that what the Lord has to say this morning is as wonderful to you as it has been to me. Many of you know I've been serving the Lord the majority of my adult life. I'm always amazed and honored that God still sees fit. Despite my faults and my failures, keep touching my heart and touching my mind and letting me see new things. He's a God of new things. And we should be grateful because the Bible says His mercies are new every morning, and it's because of His mercy that we are not consumed. The Bible amazes me. It's not only is it the greatest literary work ever, but it's God-inspired. It's an eternal living book. And if you are not taking the time to read the Word of God, you are doing yourself a disservice. And you are giving an advantage to the enemy over your own life. John chapter number 6. Begin reading in verse number 60. Many therefore of disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said to them, "Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many," everybody say many, "from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter, the impulsive one, the one who despite his various interjections in the discourse of Jesus, he has some profound revelation. Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." I want to draw your attention back to verse number 63. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. His words are spirit and life. His words are spirit and life. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help me touch my heart, touch my mind, impart unto these precious people what you have placed into my soul. God, I know it has, God, excited me. God, it has lifted me up. God, it has helped me to understand the way in which you work and the way in which you speak, Lord. And help me, Lord, to be ever attentive to your voice, to understand how that you still speak to your people, Lord, for your words are spirit and they are life, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. His words are spirit and life. Preceding our text, Jesus has just given the crowd that had gathered what His disciples acknowledge as a hard say. Jesus' teaching has not tickled their ears, but rather it has offended their understanding. For Jesus has just stated that he is the bread of life from heaven. Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing what happens in John chapter 6, but Jesus is telling them that he is better than the manna that was given to their forefathers while they wandered in the wilderness. Jesus is letting them know that all who believe on him, that he will raise up in the last day. And the Bible says that at this teaching, that at Jesus saying these words, the Bible lets us know that the Jews murmur. They grumble, they begin to complain, and they begin to say such as this: is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? However, Jesus doesn't dial it back. Jesus doesn't decide, because of their murmuring and their grumbling, that maybe he should just quell it a little bit. Maybe he should just cut back just a little bit. Maybe he's pouring it on a little too heavy for him. No, he dials it up. He says, not only am I the bread of heaven, but my flesh is the bread of life. And if you eat it, you shall not die. They grumble some more. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? But Jesus could, but he doesn't dial it back again. Matter of fact, he turns it up some more. Jesus says, my flesh is the bread of life from heaven, and unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Now, Jesus has dialed it up so much that many are deciding they want to abandon the pot, man. All of a sudden, this man is telling them to do something that the Levitical law strictly forbids. Levitical law strictly forbids that anyone would drink blood. And Jesus is saying, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, then you have no eternal life in you. And all of a sudden, they don't understand. They can't get it. It's as if Jesus is condoning cannibalism. And if that's not enough, now Jesus is saying, you have to drink my blood. What? Jesus, just moments ago, we sought you to make you king, the Bible says. Just moments ago, we were following you into the wilderness. We were following you wherever you went. But now, Bob, you've boarded crazy train. You're headed off to weirdo world. No, thank you. And the Bible says that many of the disciples went back, we read it, and they walked no more with him. Now catch this, because this is pivotal in understanding. You see, there are going to be moments when walking with Jesus compels you and I to board crazy train. There are going to be moments in walking with Jesus in your relationship when what he has to say doesn't make sense. There are going to be moments in your walking relationship with God where you read something in his word that you can't put together and you can't understand. There are going to be moments in your life, in your relationship with God. You are not with Jesus very long before his words challenge your faith, because they depart your understanding. Because you really can't perceive the intent of what he has to say. You really don't understand where he's going with all of this. Need to understand, catch this, just the day before, this same man has fed over 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just the day before, this man Jesus made an all-you-can-eat buffet out of some little boy's lunch. He performed the miraculous in their midst. And all they can say is, can you give us a sign? What more of a sign do you need? They said, oh, our forefathers had manna from heaven. It's as if Jesus, you multiplied a little lad's lunch, but that's not enough. God sent manna from heaven. Our forefather Moses, and Jesus says, wait a second, point of order. Moses did not give you the manna from heaven. God gave you the manna from heaven. And you need to know something else. God has given you me, and I am the bread of life. You're talking about manna from heaven, and the bread of life from heaven stands before you, and he multiplies natural bread. I'm going to get a little excited here this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. I'm probably going to be hoarse by tonight. Because what I begin to see in Scripture begin to blow my mind. Just a few days before, this man feeds Bible says 5,000 men. We don't know how many were there. It just says that that's the number of men. We know there had to be women and children. There were more than 5,000. We don't know how many. Not even going to try to guess how many there were. 500 is more than enough for a miracle out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus feeds over 5,000. And now all of a sudden you balk. Because you don't get it. Now all of a sudden his teaching becomes tough. And you don't understand what he has to say. And now all of a sudden, just because you don't understand what he's saying, and it doesn't make sense to you, and you feel like he's boarded crazy train, now all of a sudden you want to disembark. Now all of a sudden you want to say, no, I'd rather go back to where I was. When he fed you out in the middle of the desert, when you didn't have anything, and all of a sudden he provides blessing for you, and now he starts teaching tough, and you can't hack it, it doesn't tickle. My God. How many people have walked away? Oh, they were there for the handouts. They were there for the blessing. They were there for the when their belly was full. But when all of a sudden Jesus started talking some real talk, when all of a sudden he started having some real teaching, and some sayings didn't make sense, all of a sudden they want to abandon ship. Oh, my God, I wish that we would understand. We may not understand exactly what he's saying. We may not understand every jot and every tittle of the word, but his words are spirit, and his words are life. This man doesn't have to make an apology for what he's preaching to you just because you don't get it, and you've got the gall to sit there and murmur after this man has just fed you in the middle of the desert. If he told you to paint yourself blue and walk all over the town, you should be willing to do it because this man's got miracles. Says, eat my body and drink my blood, and because you don't get it, you're just willing to walk away. You're just willing to abandon ship. I begin to say, there's got to be more than this. I know there are many that follow him and seek to make him king while he's given handouts and the blessings are freely flowing, but who's going to stay around when the teaching turns tough? Who's going to stay around when it all doesn't make sense? And though you're serving God, and all of a sudden you're dealing with tragedy and calamity in your life, and all of a sudden you don't understand why he maketh the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, and he makes it to rain upon the just. How come all of a sudden you were there and you wanted everything to happen when blessings were flowing and things were going good? Now, time turns tough and throw in the towel. Come up with some lame excuse as to why you can't keep following him and serving. I'm sorry, I'm just going to get real this morning. All of a sudden begin to backtrack and catch this. Follow this close. John 6:23 tells us that Jesus fed the 5,000 in a place nigh unto Tiberias.
blew my mind. So I began to do a little search, and while Tiberius was named after Tiberius, who was a Roman ruler, in the Hebrew, it's Tabra, which means, according to Hitchcock's Bible Dictionary, if you want to look it up, it means the navel. Catch this. Jesus fed over 5,000. And then the Bible says they, because of the miracles, they seek to make him king. He departs from them. Then we have the story of where he sends the disciples into a ship to row to the other side. He goes into a mountain to pray. They're in the middle of the sea. They're toiling. Many of us know the story. Jesus comes walking on the water. Finally, he comes into the boat. Immediately, they're on the other side. Follow along thus far. So the place where Jesus fed the over 5,000, the Bible lets us know it was nigh unto Tiberias, which in the Hebrew means the navel. Catch what Jesus says in John 6:26. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Oops. Paraphrase what Jesus is saying. Your God is your belly. Tiberius, when I fed you just a little lad's lunch, oh, you were happy. You were happy to be a follower of me. You were willing to walk wherever I went. You wanted to make me king. Matter of fact, I had to separate myself from you. But you need to understand the motive behind what you were doing. And it wasn't a pure motive. The motive came from your natural appetite, from your flesh, which Jesus goes on to say, profiteth nothing. Oh, catch it. We were at Tiberias, the navel. But now we've come over to the other side. And if you look at the map of Galilee, you'll find one of the reasons why Tiberias was known as the navel, because it was in the center of the region of Galilee. But you go a little bit northeast of Tiberias, and you find Capernaum. And now they're in Capernaum. And the teaching is tough. We're at the navel. Catch this. But they go northeast to the heart. Capernaum, which means field of repentance. So now, Jesus, standing in the field of repentance, said, listen, you followed me not because you have a spiritual appetite, but you follow me because you have a natural appetite. You followed me because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. But now my teaching is tough. Now you don't understand exactly what I'm saying. Now you can't put it all together. And your perception of what I'm trying to get you to do is not something that aligns right in your logic and in your mind. And so now I'm dealing with the heart. I'm dealing with the real issue. See, I feel your spiritual belly, so you would believe me to fill your heart. I filled you at Tiberias, at the navel, but what I really want you to feast upon is what I'm saying here in Capernaum. What I really want you to understand is I'm trying to speak to your heart, for my words are spirit, and my words are life. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. I simply filled your natural belly so that you would follow me to the heart. Now in the field of repentance. Folks, I see it all the time when the blessings are good and everything's going well. And all of a sudden, oh, I love this living for the Lord. I love serving Him. I love being a follower of Jesus. I love doing this Christian stuff. But all of a sudden, things start dealing with the heart. All of a sudden, life doesn't make sense. And all of a sudden, the words which Jesus are saying to me, I don't get. And I can't perceive them correctly. And all of a sudden, I'm frustrated. I can't see it. And Now I just have to believe. Now it's just faith. How is it that some of them couldn't understand? Though you don't understand his words are spirit and his words are life. You stick around long enough, you stay when everybody else leaves, and he'll explain himself. He just wants to know who's willing to stay. Everybody wants to be around when he's filling the belly, but who's going to stay when he starts filling the heart? Who's going to stay when he starts teaching truth? So it is no wonder in the last days the Bible says people shall heap to themselves, teacher having itching ears. Oh, tell me what I want to hear, preacher. Tell me what's going to make me feel full and satisfied for my natural appetite. Jesus is trying to talk to the heart, for his words are spirit and his words are life. It is the spirit quickening. So now Jesus is at Capernaum and the teaching is tough. And he looks around and the multitude which he has just day before fed begin to walk away. But that must have done to the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible says he already knew those that were going to follow him and those that were not. And I wonder what feelings and emotions he dealt with as a man and those individuals. That's why it grieves my heart. I want to see people, God's blessing and God's helping them and God's restoring them and God's doing great works for the life, but all of a sudden things get tough. And they decide to go back their own way. It's the heart. Jesus is teaching and they begin to make their way back and go away. And Jesus looks at his disciples and said, will you also go away? Leave too? You? Is it teaching you? You've been with me. You've walked with me. Is it teaching too tough for you as well? Are you going to walk away? You're going to join the crowd? You're going to do what's popular right now? My God. God for Simon Peter. Peter understood what Jesus said. His words are spirit and his words are life. Peter says, we go. In other words, there's nothing for us back there. I may not understand what you're saying, and I may have to walk by faith right now. And I may have to stay joined to you even though I don't understand everything you're doing. But guess what? There's nowhere else to go. You're the only option, Jesus. You have the words of eternal life. Even though it doesn't make sense to me, and even though right now I got to walk by faith, you need to know I'm still here. When the others have gone away and the teaching became tough for everybody else, guess what? I'm not going with them. I don't care what's popular right now. I don't care what the crowd's doing. Guess where you're going to find me, Jesus? You can tell me to do whatever I need to do, and I may not understand it, but guess what? You're going to still find me sitting here because you have the words of eternal life. I'll catch it. God is a speaking God. God is a speaking God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. There was light. Many of us know the account of creation. God said, he spoke into nothingness and said, it happened. Here's the thing. Why is it that we can believe that God can speak into nothing and create, but we have trouble believing that God can speak into his creation? Follow me. Revelation in this. Not because I'm saying it, it's because the Spirit. The words are spirit, in their life. So make no mistake, God is not silent. God is a speaking God. Want to know why you will rarely, if ever, hear the audible voice of God? Catch this, because His words are spirit. Catch it. That's why rarely, if ever, hear the audible voice of God. Many times, the way you hear God is through His word, through His preaching, through prayer, and the meditations of your heart. Because His words are spirit. Here's the thing. I've looked at this scripture many times, but the Lord corrected me. It's 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Catch this. Does not say the natural man doesn't hear the things of God. Catch it. It says he receives not the things of God. It's not that he's not hearing, it's that he's not receiving. How do I know that? They are foolishness. He has boarded crazy trains. He is foolish. Natural, see, your appetite is your natural appetite, and you can't receive what I'm trying. I'm trying to speak to your heart. I'm trying to let you know that unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. Unless you fellowship in my suffering. Unless you commune with me, unless we have a covenant, you and I together, and you eat of my flesh and you drink of my blood, you have no part. As you learn how to hear spirit, catch it. The only thing you understand is your natural appetite, and it profiteth nothing. But if you can hear. See, here's the thing. It's not that God is not speaking. He is speaking. The Bible says that the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times. So if anything, the speaking has increased. But what has decreased is our ability to receive. The reason why that is because God is their belly. I know some of you may think that's a bunch of foolishness. Word. His words are spirit and His words are life. Now here's the thing. Here's what I do know. I know that right now, even in the midst of this service, God is speaking. I listened last night to part of a message by a man who many of us know, the name of Jeff Arnold. He said, and I quote, "Well, I was a sinner, a thief, and I was sitting on a bar stool planning my next robbery. God spoke to me. He didn't speak to me in an audible voice, but He began to speak to my mind. And I began to ask myself questions like, what am I doing here? What is going on with you?" See, here's the thing. The Spirit speaks. Even right now, some of you, you may have thought it was just your conscience, or you may have thought it was just your own musings, but in reality, it's the Spirit speaking. Some of you, while you drive in your car and you realize you don't have the radio on, you realize you've just been sitting there wondering and you've been meditating. But what you need to realize is what's happening is that God is speaking. The Spirit is talking. I know some of y'all think I've boarded a crazy train and I'm headed off the weirdo world. But God has helped me to see this and to understand this. And what I've realized is that my appetite has to change. Because Job said, I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. My appetite for the language of is greater than my appetite for the ways of this world. What am I saying? Simply this. We have got to find, and God is looking for some people whose appetite is beginning to shift. Whose God used to be their belly, but they're not satisfied and they're not full. Oh, some of you should be on your feet right now. Some of you should understand that God is speaking right now, that He is saying something, and what you've been feeling and what's been going on in your spirit is not just your own musings. It's not just your own conscience. It is the very voice of God speaking unto you, for His words are spirit and His words are life. You see, this is what I believe. See, I don't care how far from God someone believes themselves to be. And we sing songs like, He's as close as the mention of His name. I'll go further. I believe He's close enough for you to hear Him whisper. But it's how you're listening that makes all the difference. And if I try to listen with my natural appetite, they are foolishness. I can't understand that. If I can somehow attune my spiritual antennae to say, even though in my mind it doesn't make sense. You see, here's the reality. He's speaking to that addict who has convinced themselves they'll never be able to be delivered. He's still speaking to that individual, that alcoholic who can't put down the bottle. He's still speaking to that individual. And he's saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Just give me a chance to help you. Yes, you can. And as they look at it and they wonder, can I put this thing down? What that is the voice of God saying, oh, yes, you can. Can put it down. Oh yes, you can give it up. Oh yes. So this is what I hope, and this is what I pray. My prayer is that as God sees fit to allow me to minister, that as I speak words, they are words of spirit, and they are words of life, and that someone sitting in the congregation, it may not make sense all of a sudden, but if they have enough faith to believe. Could somehow turn off the natural appetite and turn on the spiritual appetite. I don't care how far away from God they believe themselves to be. All of a sudden, His words are spirit and His words are life. Because the Spirit quickeneth. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Sorry. But I can most assuredly say to anyone, unless you learn how to listen to the voice of God, you can never really know what living is. Because your Creator created you for the purpose of worshiping and serving Him. Though there are so many that try to make their way and try to understand life through natural means and a natural appetite, it will not happen. They will be frustrated, confused, distraught. But they can ever. See, that's why preaching is so important. That's why coming to church is so important. His words are spirit and His words are life. That means means that God can speak, and something that was dead, it can be quickened, it can be raised. I remember a long time ago, God was calling me in the ministry, but I never just really stepped out on faith, and now it's gone, it's dead, it's buried. Oh, no. You need to understand, He's still speaking. If He called you before, He's still... Just because you've decided to turn that frequency off doesn't mean that God's not still speaking. I had a prophecy, but it hasn't come to pass yet. I just believe it's not going to happen. Wait a second. That's not how to hear what He's saying. He's still speaking, and His words are spirit, and His words are life. Don't just follow Him because He fills your belly. When the teaching becomes tough and you don't understand it, can you understand this? His words are spirit, and His words are life. So anybody from anywhere, surrounded by any circumstances, if they can turn the frequency of their heart to receive what God is trying to say, they will realize, wait a second, I'm being quickened. Wait a second, there's greater understanding and revelation. How many have done like the many disciples that went back? But I want to be like Simon Peter. Lord, I may not understand it all, but where else can I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, what this next generation needs to know is government's not going to fix things. This world and its systems, it's destined for failure. It is death upon death upon death upon death. It's dying, it's fading away. There's only one way. One way. Us as a people, for you as an individual, for this nation as a country, to turn things around. Only one way is if we start. It starts individually. It starts with me, and it starts with you. And all of a sudden, to start having an appetite for more of God. And all of a sudden, the ways of this world and what it offers, they don't appeal to me anymore, and I could care less. His words are spirit, and His words are life. Right now, He's speaking. Some of those thoughts, if you had even in the moments of this message, it is nothing other than the voice of God speaking unto you right now. What do you think it is that when that individual stands at the back and they grip the pew, knuckles white, tear squeezes out between their lids and rolls down their face? What do you think it is? What do you think it is that's speaking to their conscience? Think it is, it's dealing with the heart. You see, they're at Capernaum. They're in the field of repentance. And God is saying, come on. I know it may seem crazy to you. I know all this religion. It may seem absurd, but you need to know my words are spirit and my words are life. And when that individual responds to the voice saying, come on down. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Begin to worship me. And they respond to the voice. See, I work and I rub shoulders with individuals and my heart hurts because I want them to hear what I hear. I want them to see what I see. I want them to get out of the life that they're living and the sin which is destroying them. I want them to realize that their natural appetite is causing them to walk away from something that will save their soul. For His words are spirit and His words are life. Maybe you've been doing this thing for a long time. Maybe you're new. It doesn't matter. His words are spirit and His words are life, and He's speaking. Will you respond to His voice? Will you turn off the natural appetite for a while and turn on the spiritual appetite? Oh God. These altars are open. There's manna from on high. It's spiritual manna. It's the words of the Lord. They are spirit and they are life. That voice speaking to you right now saying, yeah, go ahead. Make your way out of the pew. Act upon faith. His words are spirit and they're life. Jesus said, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. As I preached last Sunday night, what will make you full is the meat that comes from on high. I'm sorry, I can't leave the subject. I can't get away from it. I'm hungry for the things of God. My appetite. Of this world trying to tell you you'll find satisfaction. The next relationship, you'll find satisfaction. In success in this life, you'll find satisfaction when you have a certain amount of assets in your life. You'll find fulfillment. He's a liar and the father of lies. But Jesus speaks and the Spirit quickeneth, and Jesus, His words are spirit and His words are life.
Is
Nudges you to speak to that coworker. When you feel led in the Spirit to speak to someone, understand it is the Lord God attempting to work through His vessel. But I don't know what to say, Pastor. Just open your mouth, He'll fill it. And the words that you will say, they will be Spirit and they will be life.
Oh,
parting shot. The Bible tells us in John chapter 6 that Jesus spoke these words to the Jews. Jews murmured. Jews had followed him. Place nigh to Tiberias where he fed their belly. Northeast to Capernaum, the heart. Jesus began to teach. The sayings got hard. And they walked their own way. I draw your attention to John 7, 1. The next verse after this instant where the Jews walked away. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. See what happens when Jesus speaks to someone in the field of repentance. Instead of, to by faith, following him and walking after him, they decide to go their own way. What happens is then they seek to kill the voice that keeps calling. His words are spirit and his words are life. They desire to kill him. From a king, wanting to make him a king just days before, to now, a day later, he wouldn't walk no more in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Lord, help me to understand the word. Even though it may not make sense, and even though I have to walk by faith and not by sight, even though what you do compels me to, in the mind of most, come aboard crazy train and head off in the weirdo world, Lord, though it's a hard saying and though it's foolishness to the natural man, help me to allow the spirit man to hear. Attune my heart to you, God, so that I hear your voice and follow you whithersoever you lead. For if I turn and walk my own way, then I will seek to kill. It's no mystery why the backslider doesn't want to hear the voice of God. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to hear preaching. They don't want to hear somebody witness to them about the Lord. They don't. Until the natural appetite is turned off and the spiritual appetite is turned on, they will seek to kill the voice of God, calling them, saying, my words are spirits and my words are life. One more time, can you lift your hands? Lord, thank you for your word. Help me, God. Help me. And turn off this natural appetite. Lord, I realize you bless. I realize, God, that you give good gifts to your children. I realize, God, there are so many benefits. But when the teaching gets tough and trials come my way, and circumstances fall me, help me not to fall away. Help me not to go back. Help me to look to you and say, whither shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, for your words are spirit and your words are life. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this Sunday morning. may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.